If you would, open your Bibles. We're going to be, if you look at your outline here, today's message is keeping with the theme, pure and simple devotion. And our approach today as we look through the book of Matthew throughout this week and we did the spiritual disciplines, is going to be who is this man that we should listen to him? We have 3 points that we're going to be covering. But it's wonderful. You know, I was out. Who is this man that we should listen to him? A pure and simple devotion. As I was thinking about that, took some time and I was studying. And then I took an opportunity. I said, you know, I'm going to go out on the lake, grab my kayak. The skies were a bit cloudy, okay, and everything was gray. And I started out on my kayak on the lake and thinking, okay, get some time and think about this. Get alone and some think about this. And when I say get alone, my grandkids are at the house right now. So getting alone, okay, is pretty valuable. So I took the opportunity in the evening and went out in the kayak. And as I got about 15, 20 yards away, it started to drizzle. And I'm thinking, oh, great. This is going to be peace. But as I kept on going and I went through it, it came out. The sun came out. And I'm looking at it as I went across the lake, and there was it was picturesque. For once, I understood that slogan, Pure Michigan. Because it was that moment when I looked and there was a deer drinking at the edge of the water. And there was that moment when the fish, I would love to say it was a bass, but it wasn't a bass. I know it wasn't. But there was a fish that was jumping, okay? And there were dragonflies that were flying. And it was that pure, simple moment of devotion. But to be able to get there, I had to leave and get alone. I had to go through a little storm. That's a real tough storm out there in Gilead Lake. But a little drizzle. But as I pushed through it, I had the wonderful opportunity, the wonder of experience, a pure and simple devotion as I saw God's nature and the peace that it brought. Today's message as we look at this is, who is this man that we should listen to him? And if you would, open up to the book of Matthew. That's where we've been going from. This week's reading was taken from Matthew, and one of the stories in which we heard about was that even the winds obeyed him. In Matthew 28, let me read this, because if you notice, there are some hyperlinks there. If you pull this down or if you have an opportunity, go back through your Bible and look at some of the correlating passages and stories, because they kind of present a little different story. They're talking about the same thing, okay? But their perspective is a little different. Is it true? Absolutely true, okay? When I looked in yesterday when I was fishing with my 2 grandsons, each had a story to tell. How was the fishing? The youngest, I was bored, okay? The oldest one caught 3 fish. Myself, after an hour and a half, I was done, okay? But all 3 stories were true. And when you look at the Gospels and we're looking at this story, each one has a piece of information that we really need to look at. And if we look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, let's read here. When he arrived on the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, 2 demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, the Son of Man? Is that right? 8. What do you want from us, Son of Man? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs were feeding, and the demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. He said to them, go. So they went out, and they went into the pigs. And the whole herd rushed down the steep banks into the lake, and they died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. You know, what I skipped over, we're just going to pick up here anyhow with Matthew 8, is going to be, let's talk about that first. Jesus, who should this man that we should listen to him? Should the spiritual world obey him? It's kind of interesting to see that here we have some Jewish believers and they were raising pigs. And as Jesus had left the crowd, because so often he would do that, as he would spend his time trying to preach and to teach them, a lot of times it was spent into healing them, into meeting their personal needs. And so as he looked at his disciples, he says, hey, let's get in the boat and let's go away. Let's go over on the other side. And if you remember the disciples, there were those men who spent their time on the Sea of Galilee. They knew what it was to go fishing. They knew what the waters were like. In this particular case, they sailed on. And when they came to the town, there before him were two men who were demon-possessed. Now, it's kind of interesting. Jesus saw a couple things. One, he saw the men who came out and were yelling at him, who were saying, why have you come here to torture us before our time? And it's kind of interesting is that they recognized Jesus. The disciples really struggled as they walked with Christ for 3 years, as Jesus actually sent them out with authority over the demons at times to realize who this man is, that we should listen to him. But Jesus had the power over the spiritual world. And though they came and they actually proclaimed who he was, he silenced them. And it's kind of interesting is that when Jesus looked at these Jewish men, men who were filled with the demons, and he saw that their life was intended from the very beginning to be lives that were clean. And yet they were unclean. They were living among the dead. They were living among the tombs. They weren't allowed into the cities. And Jesus saw that. And when he spoke with them, and when the demons say, are you here to torture us before our time? They know. They know that Christ has eternity in his hands. They know from the beginning of creation that it was him who formed it with his very words. And they know that when it all comes to the end, it will be Christ who returns. They recognize that. They recognize and they pleaded, don't send us out. And if you do, how about those pigs over there? And could you imagine that? As Jesus would drive those spirits out, legion, many, many of them, they would go into this herd of swine, an unclean animal, an unclean animal. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He takes that which is meant to be clean. And he cleans it by driving out those things within their lives that control them. And he puts them into the pigs just as their request. And the pigs, what do? They run off and they drown themselves. And it's an amazing thing. Oh, sure. You want those pigs? Go right ahead. And could you imagine what the thinking of the demons might have been at the time? Oh, good. We'll cause havoc in this herd of pigs. We'll cause havoc in the community that's raising this herd of pigs. Oh, we can have a time with this. But no, instead, Jesus sends them to the herd, and they die. And they're gone. And what is left? Those two men whose whole lives had been involved with something that they could not cast out themselves, something that controlled them, and they were unclean, and they were left there, and they were at peace. And that herd, which had caused anything but peace, that those demons which had caused havoc in their own life, which divided their family, which separated them from the fellowship of other believers, now we're driven out. And this spiritual world that the demons recognize as Christ being the creator of had the authority to drive out. Who is this man that we should listen to him? Pure and simple devotion. Who is this Jesus that we should listen to him? Well, he is the one who controls the spiritual world. You know, we sit here and the world can sit here and say, oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I really believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't know if he can do everything that you're saying he can do. The spiritual world, no questions asked. Boom, go. And when he commands him, he commands. He doesn't repeat it. He says one time. And we'll look at us. We have an opportunity as to follow Christ, to know him. How many times do we say, but, oh God, what about this? And we question him. Is this really what we should be about? The spiritual world has no questions. They know who their creator is, and they know what their destiny is. Who is this man that we should follow him, that we should listen to him? And I'm going to jump back up to my first point, and that's okay. Because when we talked about the creation of the spiritual world, there's the creation of the physical world. And if we look in, again, Matthew 8, we have Jesus who controls the physical world. It wasn't a demon attack that he had to rebuke the winds and the waves. The winds and the waves were something that just happened naturally. The sun is out today. There's a front moving in. Cooler weather brings it in. We can watch the news and we can look out a week ahead and say, wow, this is what the weather's going to be. It's the world that Jesus had put in place. When you look at the heavens and you talk to astronomers, when you talk to those who understand physics, and they see that the world is in perfect balance, and so they can predict the orbit of comets, everything has been put in place. Everything runs its natural course. God, the creator, Christ, as we're told, is the one who created this. So when we look into Matthew chapter 8, and we look at verse 23, we have the story of Jesus calming the seas. Again, this is pretty much what Jesus did. After a crowd had gathered together, he would have said to his men, it's kind of interesting, he picked some worthy, capable fishermen who understood the waters and say, let's get in this boat and let's go over there. If I'm going to drive, if I'm going to be in the boat with somebody and go to location, I want to make sure that they're comfortable with being able to handle it, such as a car. Or if I'm going to be in a plane, I want to make sure that the pilot is well trained, because I'm kind of putting my life in his hands and putting my trust that he's going to get me to that destination so far away because he's trained. And here the boat was filled with men who were well-trained, except for Matthew. Matthew's already, his perception of Jesus had already been blown. He much would prefer the ledger. But when Jesus fed those 5,000, he's going, I'm not sure how we're going to pay for this. Okay. But now the disciples, those who were used to the ruggedness of the water, who were comfortable at the in boats, now they're going to be tested. Everything that they're going to be, that they know, that they take pride in and comfort in, is going to be tested. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. His disciples went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And it wasn't just like, hey, Jesus, save us. No! At this point, they had waited so long. Luke tells us this was a squall, that the low level of the ground of the Galilee Sea, with the mountains over, it wasn't uncommon for storms to swoop down, and this time an isolated storm had come. And all of a sudden, these seasoned men whose hands were used to holding the ropes, who were used to bouncing around in the water, they waited and they waited before they decided to wake the sleeping Jesus. Whoa. Does that sound familiar? How often we'll do that? We're pretty much in control of things in our life. We're okay, Jesus, I got this. This is what you trained me for. I can handle it all right? And all of a sudden, as the waves would come crashing over the edge, these seasoned fishermen were saying, oh no, we're in trouble. Could you imagine that sail going back and forth and ripping the ropes through their hands? Can you imagine them trying to stand up and pulling and getting knocked down? It wasn't an easy road. It wasn't an easy time on the lake. They were bruised. They were probably scuffed up quite a bit before they finally went to Jesus and they said, hey, And Luke puts it pretty clear.
Don't you care for us? Look what's happening.
And he rebukes them. As he rebukes the water, as he rebukes the wind, he rebukes them. Not because they cried out to him, but the biggest thing is they cried out and they asked, don't you care about us? Don't you care that we can't handle this situation anymore? And as Jesus stood up, he quieted the wind. He's ceased the waves. And there was that eerie feeling when everything was calm. Who is this man? And then he points to them. And he rebukes them. He rebukes not because they came, but they waited. They waited so long that they began to doubt God's love for them. When you get in a boat with Jesus and the water is calm, and many times you're sailing to a destination, it remains calm. But there will be those times when you're following Jesus, when you'll get into the boat and all of a sudden a local storm will rise. And all your training and everything that you've been accustomed to and everything you know is going to be challenged. And it's going to be insurmountable. And the tendency is to be able to cry out to Jesus, God, save me. No, the tendency we so often have is to say, don't you care about us? If you cared about us, you wouldn't have allowed these things to happen. God, who called the disciples into the boat, who set on this journey, knew exactly where he was going. And as he slept there, he was comfortable because he had complete trust. And when he was well awakened by the cries of the disciples whom he loved, was he cranky because he woke up? What are you guys waking me up for? Come on, seriously. No. He silenced the waves. He silenced the storm. And he asked them, why do you question me? And like the disciples, they go, who is this man? They don't even listen to what he's asking them. You know, why are you doubting my love? No, who is this man? That even the waves, they marveled over his authority, that all of nature would listen to him. If they had listened in Bible school, they would have known that he was the creator, that he had the control. If they would have realized that why he laid underneath the front of the boat and slept, it's because he had it under control. He wasn't worried. But the disciples were on a long journey, and there's many things that they would learn along the way. And at times, Jesus grew frustrated with them, but he never quit loving them. At times, he might rebuke them because these are lessons they should have known. Trust, faith, elementary lessons. So who is this man that all of nature, when the storms come in, I'm guilty of this. I lay in the bed and I watch the storms come in from the south and the lightning fill the sky. And I lay there and I look at that and I go, wow, that's cool. I'm going to go back to sleep. And my wife, who's between me and the window, she's not so happy where her position is. Okay. But there are other times when I think that my skills, things that I have control of, things that I should be able to handle, when those get challenged, then I become frustrated. And I can ask God, why did you allow this? What did I allow? Do you to be in a position where you can only trust yourself? Or I put you in a position where you can now trust me? Jesus is going to pull you in that journey in your life. It doesn't make a difference if it's this year, next year, or maybe you've already come through that piece, that time, that storm, where you're going to realize the God of creation, who controls and builds the physical world, who listens and doesn't ever question, the God who controls the spiritual world of addiction and so many other things in our lives, is the God who can bring peace. So who is this man? As the disciples would learn, as we start to learn more and more. Let's look at the third point, that we should listen to him. In Matthew 12, 15 through 21. This is speaking about Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. It was a large crowd that followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel, nor will he cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and the smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory, and his name to the nations will put their hope in him. This Jesus that the disciples would look at and would baffle, who is this man? He's definitely man. What they struggled with was his deity. What they struggled with was also how he presented himself. As he would rebuke the demons and they would listen to him, as he would rebuke the winds and the creation would listen to him, and when he rebuked them, they would not. And they wouldn't listen to him because of the kindness of his heart, because he is like this. A wick will not be snuffed out. If you ever take a candle and you put it up next to the window, it's fine until you get a slight breeze and all of a sudden it blows out. Or a reed that's already been bruised, it stands strong and all of a sudden it pushes over the slightest wave or of a wind or just brushing up against it. That's the nature of Christ. And so it becomes difficult at times when we learn of him. His nature is one that he does not cry out into the streets. He is one that he will not put out a candle. That's how he works. And if that's the God, now I could, and growing up in a family of six kids, and my brothers and sisters can attest to it, my mom was not in any way a quiet voice. And she could easily yell from upstairs when she heard the refrigerator door open, "Who's in the refrigerator?" And put it in. Not me, not me. Or she could stand on the porch and yell and tell us it's time to come home and we would hear it. Or she would say, "Knock it off," and the television's blaring and we're fighting, we could still hear her voice. All right? But that's not Jesus. He doesn't operate that way. And if you want to hear him, if you want to hear his voice, you got to get alone. And you got to take time to be able to hear it. The application for today's message is creation, both physical and spiritual, are subject to him. Jesus was obviously man to those who saw him. To those who spoke with him, he was obviously man. The creation, other than mankind, recognizes his lordship. What was difficult then, and for many of us today, is understanding his deity, to take to heart his teaching. Who is this man that we should learn to listen to him? Well, he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. And it's that last piece that we always get stuck on. He's the Son of Man. And who his nature is. If you open up for me with you, we'll look really quickly at three application levels. One is found in Luke. Luke 5. And very simply put, Jesus took time and he go to a lonely place. You know, it's amazing when you listen to the testimonies of performers, people who are constantly before large crowds. when you read the biographies of people whose life is spent as people would rush and take pictures of them and wherever they would go, there was always this sense of loneliness because so much of the crowds brought energy to him. Jesus was the opposite. Though he would go to a lonely place, it was because he was lonely. And when he spent that time with his Father in heaven, when he spent the time in prayer and praying for those he had just met, those who he just healed physically, it was at those times that he never felt alone because his world was not of this world. And so even though he was in the midst of it, he felt his place most when he was alone. And that's our job too. As we walk with Christ, as we journey with him, we can enjoy the fellowship, but there's got to be that point where we just got to break away and spend time with the Savior. Spend time with Jesus. Hear what he says, because like the bruised reed, you're not going to hear him in the hustle and bustle. You're going to hear him only when you take time to get away. How is your sleep? Point two, are you tired? Are you weak? Are you weary? That's the message. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the question he asks. Oh, I know you're busy. I know you're active. I know you're working a lot of hours. I know all of that. But the question that he asks are you weak and weary and heavy laden? Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So you look at the demands that God places upon our lives. And we can always understand this, that his call to take up his yoke is an easy one because we're always with him. He wants to give us peace. And in a world, in a time of chaos, when phones are constantly going off and, you know, the alarm clock is telling us we need to be there, we need to be here, it becomes busy, wearisome. Time with Jesus is not, oh, I know what you're thinking. Oh, you don't know what my schedule looks like. And you're absolutely right. But I can guarantee you this. You take that time, get away, alone from everything else. It's early in the morning, and you'll find the peace. You won't be lonely. You'll find the peace. Point three here. Oh, before we do that, let's go to Psalm 31:2, because I think Psalm 31:2, King David, all right, we're busy. Any of us a king, okay? Do we have cities and towns and armies and everybody else around us, okay, that we have to make sure that we're responsible for? I know we're busy, all right? But David says this, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child, I am content. And I have a picture in my mind, my little granddaughter. And it's so beautiful when I watch her in my wife's arm. She's not hungry. She's not fussy. She's just content. Like a weaned child, she holds the child next to her, and that child is comforted and starts to fall asleep at the sound of my wife's heart beating. Boom. Boom, boom. Getting alone with Jesus is exactly that way. It can be reading. It can be praying. Sometimes it's just a matter of resting. And when you lean against Jesus and you hear that bump, 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 you hear the heart of God. And God's heart, as he drove those demons out of those two men, from the time of creation, that they would be clean. And that which was unclean had no place in them. We can know the peace of God if we allow the power of God, the authority of God, to drive out those demons and those things in our lives that keep us from what he has and for trusting in him. So David picks a beautiful picture here. Last point as we conclude, and all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. You are ready to move mountains. You don't have to be a spiritual giant. That's the beauty of it. Matter of fact, when you become the spiritual giant, when all of a sudden you're involved in teaching or you're doing this and you're administering to this and you become that spiritual giant, it's so difficult at that time to actually find that peace, that mustard seed, faith, simply to trust in God. Are you ready to move mountains? Take the time. Are you sleeping well? At night when you wake up in the middle at 3 o'clock in the morning, is your mind racing about things that you did the previous day or what you have to do? Take the time at the end of the evening to quiet yourself before God. Listen to his word. If it matters of just listening to the recording of the scriptures, or if you're too tired to actually read it, do so. Let it cleanse your mind. Let it flow over you. Let it clear it out. So when you go to bed at night, that's the last thing you're thinking. And when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's the first thing you can think about. And God will be that peace. Who is this man that we should listen to him? Who is this man that we could have pure and simple devotion? Nothing complex, just beautiful. As we go through those storms, the clouds disappear. There's that beautiful experience of the peace of God. Mayor, if you would, we're going to close at this time with just before I pray. Just play Rock of Ages, if you would. We sang that song earlier. The beautiful thing about the Rock of Ages, clap for me, you are able in the storm to hide yourself in thee. To be able to have a place that is safe and tucked away when everything outside in the world is going crazy, when the lightning's flashing, when the storm is letting go its hail, you can be in that cleft right there and have that peace. All three pieces that Jesus left, he left peace. And that's what he offers. Peace, peace for eternity, but peace in the practical aspect of day-to-day living. But we have to take the time to get away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that, God, when we ask the question, who are you, that we should listen. You're the God of creation. You're the God who the spiritual world must listen to. So when we pray, Lord, when we pray because there is spiritual attack upon our life, we can know that they will listen to the name of Christ, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. And when creation, Lord, becomes out of balance and we find ourselves in the normal storms of life, we too then can know that we can have peace. We'll have to go through those times. You'll take us on those journeys. You'll say, get in the boat with me. And you'll wonder at times, why did you lead me here? There's a reason. Let's not be like the fishermen who trusted in their own abilities and then eventually cried out to God, don't you care about us? No. That's the answer to the question. Of course I do. Absolutely. So be with us, Lord, as we go through this week. In the chaos and the hecticness, it's always there. It's part of it. We can laugh and enjoy it. And then we can get away and we can have that time with you. So let us have that, Lord, that we might hear your still voice. And like a bent reed, Lord, we pray that you will not allow us to break. And we give you thanks and we give you praise in the name above all names, the name of Christ. Amen.